Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is episode 12 of Why Are People Into That? A podcast for the sexually curious. I am your host, Tina Horn, and my guest for episode 12 is Nayland, an incredible interdisciplinary artist and bona fide pervert. He wanted to talk about chastity, a kink subject that I personally find pretty mysterious and fascinating. How exactly do you get a sexual thrill from being denied orgasm? Nayland surprised me by actually wearing a stainless steel chastity device during this recording, so I think it's safe to say he's pretty qualified to explain why people love it when they just can't get no satisfaction. You can listen to every episode of Why Are People Into That for free on our fancy website, whyarepeopleintothat.com, where each episode has a different sexy subject and charismatic guest. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, at Into That Podcast, and at Tina Horn's Ass. You can also subscribe on iTunes, and if you can just take a few seconds to rate us, it can boost us up so more people can learn about all of the whys and wherefores of human sexuality. So, buckle into your iron panties and throw away the key as we investigate why are people into chastity? Great, so hi, Nayland.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going all right. How are you?
I'm great. I managed to sleazily convince you to get into my bed.
I know. We're here, according to the fan, we're in the comfort zone. I'm very...
Isn't that thing so good? I honestly was living in a... in a house with a bunch of people, and somebody left that fan behind, and I was like, this is a vast improvement over my big plastic fan, if for no other reason than it says comfort zone.
Yes,
on it.
Yeah. I feel so much safer than when I was recording around that danger zone fan.
Yeah, no. Oh, God. No, you don't want to be in the danger zone fan. No, God. When I was younger, I always used to really be worried that I was going to lose my finger in a fan. That's just, I don't know, I'm just, like, klutzy like that. I was always, like, coffee grinder, fan, this fan is a safe space.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a safe space now.
Yeah, I still have that with my coffee grinder.
Yeah, I have to unplug it before I even go blenders. I'm like, this is not how I'm gonna lose my writing hand.
Yeah, I was a shop steward in college, so I'm big on fear of power tools. I think fear of power tools
it's very healthy.
Keeps you whole.
Yeah, I agree. conveniently, for everyone, my bed is the cushiest, most cozy place for good sound that I know of in all of New York City. So here we are. And I'm so happy to have you not only in my bed but on the show.
Thank you. Thanks.
You're actually my first cis male guest, I realized the other day.
Wow.
So I just went straight to the top, I think.
Well.
Not by design. It wasn't by design. I mean, it's not like, I'm not like, there's no misandry going on around here, but you're just the first.
Well, somebody had to be.
Yeah, definitely. You never forget your first.
I'm honored. I'm honored. As I'm known among, as I'm known among many of my friends as the exception.
Mm-hmm.
So, who knows, I may end up being the only one.
Well, hopefully it will grow. Hopefully people will be influenced by you and they'll start their own...
I hope so.
...exceptional clans. But anyway, so Nalen is a really amazing artist. Multi-interdisciplinary artist, maybe that's like an understatement, but also recognized and appreciated in your own time, I think, which is always nice.
I have been very lucky to get a positive reception for doing the things I enjoy doing, I guess is the way that I tend to put it. I've been very fortunate in that regard. So it's a lot easier to see my work than it is of many other people. And
so what, before we dive into the episode subject, what for you is, because, and then I know you, I'm familiar with your art, but I also know you through sort of like sexual counterculture communities and like education communities and leather communities. So what, where in your life was the connection between being an artist and being a pervert?
I think it was always there.
Yeah.
I think that one way to define kink is that it is sexuality with thought, which means that it's cultural and that it's this, people are consciously making meaning with the way that they fuck.
Bless you, sir.
And so it's,
hallelujah.
Yeah. I mean, so that it's the same thing as making art. To me, they've always been on a continuum. And I think that one of the things that has been perhaps difficult for me, or a question that I continually ask myself, is if something is going on in one area of my life, why am I not looking at it in my other work. Mm-hmm. So it's about trying to be, honest about all of those things.
And integrating.
Yeah. Them. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Fuck yeah. That's groovy, man. well, I'm sure we could talk about sex and art until we're blue in the face, but you're here today to answer the question, or explore with me the question, why are people into chastity, which is a little, that's so veering off into talking about chastity. So when I think of chastity, I think about a couple of things. I think about, I guess it was first introduced to me as a fetish by clients who would come to me and say, I'm going to buy a CB3000 and I'm going to, and you're going to put it on me and I'm going to give you the key and, you're going to swallow it or you're going to, whatever, you're going to like give it to your boyfriend or whatever. And then you're going to be in complete control. Like the Clash say.
Yes.
I was always kind of like, okay, I'm like game for anything. Like, sure. You want to buy this fancy device? Like, fine. But, more often than not, the idea of it and talking about it was what was, I met very few people who were willing to actually go there. Because I was always game. I was like...
Really?
I was like, give me the motherfucking key. But they wouldn't. They wouldn't. Yeah. So that was a lot of what I experienced.
Interesting. Well, I mean, I suppose it's like anything. People, for anything that you could name, there are many more people who are interested in the fantasy than necessarily in the experience. But
which is fine.
Yeah. And I would say that we're in an interesting point right now. And I think it's the place that vibrators hit 10 years ago,
uh-huh.
or maybe like 15 years ago, where suddenly they stopped pretending that they were massagers.
Right.
And you had people who were like, no, these are supposed to be insertable, so we should use materials that you can do that with, and
right.
they should be powerful, and they shouldn't run on crappy batteries, and all that stuff. And this sort of confluence of an informed market and a sort of willing technology designers came together to, like, completely change the way that vibrators are designed and sold and consumed.
And
now,
so you feel like that's happening right now?
I think that that's happening now.
We're at the tipping point of...
Yeah, I think it's happening now.
Chastity devices.
Particularly with male chastity devices. And mm-hmm. and I guess I should say that there's... The overwhelming amount of my experience with this is male chastity.
Okay. Do you remember perhaps the silliest of all the very silly movies that Mel Brooks made? Do you remember, have you seen the movie Robin Hood, Men in Tights?
I have not, unfortunately.
Oh, I mean, it's very silly, again, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. like, of, you know, mm-hmm. perhaps even sillier than Blazing Saddles, which is saying something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very young when it came out, but there is I was thinking about this subject earlier today, and I realized that I kept thinking of, there's a scene in Robin Hood Men in Tights, or there's this, like, running gag where Maid Marian has mm-hmm. a chastity belt, mm-hmm. but there's this, like, visual gag where she, like, steps out of the bubble bath, and it's like a full pant, like, iron panty.
Right, with, like, a big giant lock in the center of it.
Right, it's like a heart-shaped lock, and it mm. actually says, I think it says Everlast on
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's this joke that, like, her one true love is gonna be the one who can put the key in the mm-hmm, hole mm-hmm. and unlock her chastity device. Anyway, that's what I think of when I think of female chastity devices,
yeah.
is like iron
mm-hmm.
panties.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've ever seen those for sale, but I've definitely seen CB3000s for sale. So, and we can also talk about the difference between the, like, chastity devices versus all of the things that you might do with orgasm control that
mm-hmm.
wouldn't necessarily involve the devices, but... before we do, I guess maybe I should ask you, like, what is your definition of chastity as a sexual fetish?
Well, it's really tied to orgasm control.
Mm-hmm.
It is, being, you know, basically through wearing a device or through orders being, restricted from achieving orgasm.
Yeah. And arousal, I guess, in more extreme cases.
Depending on the device you have, yes. Arousal as well.
So can you describe a couple of male chastity devices that you've encountered?
Sure.
Well, imagine somebody's listening and they're
yes.
like, what the fuck are they talking about?
I'm laughing because I'm wearing one now.
Oh! apropos.
Which may answer why this topic was one
on
that came
mind
to mind when you asked what I could talk about.
Oh, that's cool.
Wait,
can I ask how long you've been wearing it?
This time around, I've been wearing it for... gosh, I would say a little over 3 weeks.
Okay. Cool.
So...
How you doing?
Not my longest. Well, we can talk about that. It's, yeah. Okay, why don't, so I, why don't we go back to the first question?
Okay, yes,
about,
yes, please
like,
do.
About how they function.
Yeah.
Most devices at this point break into two camps. One that, like Maid Marian's, sort of completely covers the genitals. And is locked so that there's no, and it's made of a material that is rigid enough so that it's not possible to stimulate your dick. You know, there. So usually those are in the form of some sort of a belt. They look like, you know, you're wearing like an athletic cup or something.
Okay.
And then, the much more, prevalent design at this point is, something that, works as like a cock ring.
Okay.
And then has another portion that attaches to it that covers, the shaft.
Is it, so does it
of the
work
penis.
As...
So it holds, so it sort of holds the cock down, because of its outside diameter, it doesn't allow that much blood to flow into the cock.
Right.
And then
that was my question about, because
yeah.
With cock rings, the idea is to compress the blood vessels that are
right.
That are flowing
right.
Out but not in.
Right. So it doesn't it's you wear a size that is large enough to sort of fit around your cock and balls so it doesn't fall off from the front.
But not to compress, because the point of a cock ring is actually
to keep
the
you hard.
Right.
Keep you hard once
and
you get
to,
hard.
Yeah, yeah, to keep the blood vessels to constrict the blood vessels that would bring blood
yeah.
Out of the penis. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so works like a cock ring, but not in the compression sense, just in
right.
the sense of
right.
holding it on.
Okay. Yeah.
So not super tight.
Right. And then the material, metal or plastic or silicone
mm-hmm.
is there to keep you from feeling much of anything.
Right, right, right. So it's like a sensory deprivation tank for your
yeah,
cock.
In a way, yes.
So does your cock
yeah.
start, like, hallucinating?
Well, I mean, here's the first thing we should say,
okay.
is that, like, dicks are ludicrous.
They truly
are. They are,
thank you for saying
like,
it so I didn't have to.
They are completely...
I love
mean,
them.
It, yes.
I love how ludicrous.
They're adorable,
like,
but they are like, yeah.
I love ludicrous things.
I'm totally like, I believe that the creator was like, what is it? It's like, 4:45 on a Friday, and you're like, oh God, all right, I don't know. We got to make another one. I just got done making hamster. I tell you what, like, what are we, all right, this one, the genitals are on the outside. But like, let's see how that goes.
We'll
it's
put a
like,
tiny brain inside.
Right, exactly.
That will sometimes
yeah, yeah,
make the other brain
yeah,
shut down.
Yeah, yeah, we'll make it think that it's really important. So that's the thing about chastity. It is both, it's a little paradoxical because you can't get hard and you can't come. However, most guys that I know in chastity, it also provides them with the opportunity to talk about their dick all the time.
Right. Totally.
Because now their dick is a problem.
Right, even more so than before.
Right, where it's impolite to talk about your dick, but it's like, an instant way to garner sympathy is to say that you're locked up.
I mean, I this is also a whole other conversation, but I truly believe that, like, most of the power of BDSM is in irony, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, ironically, you because you also have to ask for it, right? You have to
right.
ask to be controlled. You have to
right.
be like, I want,
Like, you have to take control in order to lose control, and you have to take your dick out of the picture, so to speak, in order to talk about your dick all the time.
Right,
and, exactly. And, like, completely fixate on it.
Yeah.
So, okay, so do you find, or when you have conversations with others, is the idea to make the longing more a sort of central part of your life because you can't, like, satisfy and sort of, like, refractory and regenerate? Or is the idea to sort of take it away because it's, like, too distracting?
Well, like most things, there's a lot of different ways that you can play with it.
Sure.
So I've done this both as somebody who's been locked and as a key holder for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's... right now, the main person that I do it with is this guy who, lives really far from me. We don't see each other all that often.
Mm.
But we have this agreement that he can order me to lock up whenever he decides to, whenever he sees fit. And it is a way for, it's a way for me to submit to him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's a way to kind of, like, walk around and sort of feel his, control.
Will, yeah.
And occasionally when he orders me to lock up, he'll send me, like, links to porn or, like, particular...
So cruel.
So there can be this sort of tease and denial, but there's also other stuff about it because, after a certain point, it can also... You get horny enough that you're like, okay, well, what else feels good?
Mm.
Right? So it becomes a way that you can start focusing on other parts of your body.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a person who, can orgasm without shooting.
Awesome.
So that's like, like it's a kind thing, of like everybody. A prostate orgasm or, that feels very different, but it also is a way of, getting my head out of like, it's, it has to be this way of getting off and no other way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, cool. It allows you to actually, paradoxically, change the extent to which you value your dick or not, And for a lot of guys, if you have anxiety about getting it up.
Right.
It takes that off the table.
Right.
So it's not going to happen. Yeah. So, some guys experience it as a kind of, confidence builder because they don't have to be anxious about performing. And in fact, now, Aslan and I think another company sell, harnesses, strap-on harnesses, that you can wear over a device.
Oh, cool.
So...
I've definitely seen harnesses that are not even necessarily just made for over a device, but that are made to put... that there's, like, a place to put the cis cock, and there's a place for the dildo. So, we could go on and on about all the times that you might want to... use a dildo to fuck someone, like, instead of your attached cock.
Or maybe that's what they want.
Right.
And maybe it's about, like, no, this is better.
Right.
You know, like, And there can be the kind of humiliation aspect of that, which can also be really hot.
Yeah, it can be, but it doesn't even have to be. I think that for a lot of people, the way in would be like the inadequacy of your mm-hmm. penis. But also, it's okay if
right.
somebody's penis doesn't last as long as a,
Right.
I mean, often I think people are like, the penis tires out before the human tires out, right? Mm-hmm. Like I don't have an attached cock, but I can fuck with a strap on
mm-hmm.
for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. If I did have an attached cock, probably it wouldn't last that long, but my hips are still ready,
mm-hmm.
fine to go.
Right.
Anyway, that's another yeah. podcast. Okay, so there's several things going on. There's tease and denial.
Mm-hmm.
There's predicament bondage.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a little bit of...
It's sort of like being collared.
Totally. Yeah, so there's ownership, claiming, control. Mm-hmm. So there's control between two people, but then there's also a little bit of self-control. I mean, I guess mm-hmm. you're giving your self-control over to somebody else.
Yeah.
You're saying, I don't have enough self-control.
Yeah.
Well,
and believe me, there's... People get egotistical about it right away. There's a site called Locked M for M
mm-hmm.
that is sort of the big chastity site.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that they have on the site is a counter for how many days you've been locked.
Oh, I'm sure. Again, that's irony. It's how big is my dick by me? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How long I can
yeah.
not touch my dick.
Right.
That's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like there's also a, an expensive, fun gadget thing to it as
yeah.
well, where it's I have the CB5000.
Yes. Yeah.
You haven't lived until you've
mm-hmm.
put your dick in the mm-hmm. CB6000.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Right.
Well, and this is this is the other thing about it, is that it is, because dicks come in all shapes and sizes, often in the same day, it's difficult. Like the most expensive devices are custom made.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I always sort of recommend is, and people will sort of ask okay, well, what's the best device? And I sort of teach a class on this. And what I say is everyone's mileage is going to vary. It's going
right.
to be really different for each person. So the safest way to investigate it is, luckily on eBay, we have this sort of plethora of different kinds of devices, usually around $30 to $40.
Oh, cool.
Which means that they are super cheap knockoffs
mm.
of higher end devices. And you only want to get them so that you can actually try out a couple of different kinds and then decide which high end version of that you're going to get.
Cool. So you want to try it out, not giving the key to somebody who's in a different state and not being in it for a month.
Yeah.
Right. You want to try it out. You want to walk around in it for a day.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Right. Okay.
And it is bondage. So
right.
as I like to say, what is the first rule of bondage?
Always knowing how to get out of it.
Exactly.
Yes.
Never, never get into any kind of bondage that you do not know how to get out of.
Yes. Do I get a gold star?
You totally get a gold star.
Yes.
Well,
isn't that so interesting though? Because it's, I feel like a really big issue for a lot of people is that they want to push the danger and push the, and I completely understand that the danger and excitement is a turn on and is
mm-hmm.
a huge part of why we do a lot of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always about making an informed risk for yourself,
mm-hmm.
but also I feel like that's a really great bottom line, which is unfortunate because I think for some people it's like they want the like utter abandon of control of like the further the key, right. The literal key to right. getting out of bondage is from me, the more of a turn on it is because like I'm in more
yeah.
danger. But yeah. that's like not sexy danger. Yeah. That's like,
well, you could, I mean, if you want to delay it, you could take the additional key. Most locks come with two keys. You know, you can send one to the top. You can put the other in an ice cube tray and freeze it, you know, in the ice cube.
What a cute idea.
And then that way it's not immediately available to you. But, you know, the thing that I like to say is that the important thing to remember about BDSM is that there is that like matter or like energy, responsibility can neither be created or destroyed. Mm. So you may, there is something really hot about offloading your responsibility somewhere else, yeah. right? Your responsibility for your safety to the dom.
Right,
to the top. That can be super hot. But the reality of it is that they are then holding it, and it may not be so hot for them. Like, do you really want to be in a situation where if you are in an accident,
yeah.
and the person who's responsible for you really getting hurt is someone who cannot take reasonable action for it?
Yeah.
You know, simply because you thought it was a hotter scene for you not to carry the key.
Right. And because it is, in effect, it is a scene, even if the scene goes on for a month and you're not actually seeing each other and you're like also going to work and sleeping.
Yeah.
And it's
there are any number of reasons why you might have to get out or you might want to get out.
Yeah.
You know, and so I... you know, I carry around, when I'm locked, I carry around a spare key on me all the time. I've never used it.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that's interesting to me about the scene as a scene is it never really occurs to me to use it. Like it's not like, oh, you know, this is a little uncomfortable right now. I could just take it off for a couple of hours.
Right. I mean,
I just wouldn't.
I mean, part of another part of what this is all about is, like, you know, is magic, right? Is imbuing an object, an act, a word with meaning or significance, like what you're talking about with art, right?
Exactly.
And that's, and the excitement and the satisfaction and also the potential for connection comes from the human imagination and the ability to do that and the ability to say, like, this scene, this scenario, this dynamic, like, is gonna bring me, like, excitement, is going to bring me peace, is going to bring me satisfaction, is going to bring me, like, the, oh, you know, whatever I want. And so, yeah, you totally have the ability, just as much as you have the ability to say, this key that I'm giving to this other person represents, like, their dominance over me, their ownership of me, my devotion to them, my submission to them. Like, you can also, like, imbue a key that you're wearing around your neck. It's like, this is just a safety valve. It's not my, like, cheat sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's fun. Well, I'm just always going to be somebody that recommends that, you know, that somebody's like, you know, having the key. I like
we
the
live
ice
in the real control. World and you just don't know what might come up at any particular time.
Yeah.
So I, you know, in the same way that it is, it's not hot to, or for me at least, it's not hot to give some bystander a role in some dominant submission scene that I'm going through with someone else. because that bystander didn't consent to it.
Right.
You know, it's also not hot for me to pretend that the real world doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And in fact, you know, devilish things that this guy does now is that he will let me out. But then I'm not allowed to come for 24 hours.
Okay. So that leads me to another issue or not issue, another point, which is that, I like bondage. I think bondage is great. I think mm-hmm. rope is great. I think leather is great. I hanging upside down and like being fully encased in a, mm-hmm. you know, straight jacket. Totally great. Cages, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Collars, leashes, awesome. But to me, there's nothing hotter than somebody who I really, am hot for, who has really got that dom thing going mm-hmm. on, mm-hmm. who has, you know, who I've consented to have control over me, looking at me and saying, don't move.
Mm-hmm.
That psychological mm-hmm. bondage, verbal bondage, whatever you want to call it, like, that's the sexiest to me, when somebody has that much control over me that they can really make it so that I'm like, the last thing that I'm going to do
right.
is disobey them
mm-hmm.
by moving, right? Mm-hmm. So I suppose one, you know, if you don't even want to, like, a step before spending $40 on a knockoff on eBay or dropping mm-hmm. however much, I don't even mm-hmm. know how much a high-end mm-hmm. chastity device goes for, mm-hmm. Or getting a custom one, a bespoke chastity belt, would be to play with somebody, or I guess you could masturbate orgasm control. I mean, there's nothing saying that you can't tell yourself, I mean, the way that you say, like, I'm not going to drink beer this month or whatever, or like, I'm mm-hmm. going to go vegetarian, like, to mm-hmm. say to yourself, like, I'm not allowed to come until Friday,
mm-hmm.
or I'm not allowed to come for 24 hours, I'm mm-hmm. not allowed to touch my dick except to pee, et cetera, mm-hmm. or to have somebody else do it,
mm-hmm.
and, like, play with that and explore that, even if it's in, like, a scene that happens, like, you're not allowed to come until I, like, come back from the bathroom,
right?
You know, like, even...
Well, one way that I suggest people try it out to see whether or not it's for them, because a lot of people are curious about it and a lot of couples are curious about it, and mm-hmm. Is that I just suggest getting some vet wrap,
mm-hmm.
and you can basically which is like, you know, $2 a package.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you've gone over this on the.
Not yeah. No, like veterinarian wrap is what you
Yeah.
Mean? Yeah, so you can get it from like vet a vet
wrap,
store.
Vet wrap is stuff. Well, a lot of sex toy stores now sell it. It is a, it's a latex, saturated cloth that's used to, bind like horses' legs and things like that. So if you have a latex sensitivity, it's not going to work for you.
Sure.
But
like
you
any
can
kind of, or like heavy duty Saran wrap,
yeah.
or even that PVC bondage tape stuff.
Yes, that will work as well. Although you probably want to put some duct tape over it, because your sweat will cause it. Like once moisture gets in there, it will cause it to open up.
Okay.
So you basically, you know, wrap the ball.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Balls in a package, and then flatten the cock against the top of the balls, and wrap all of it together, leaving an opening at the end for the person to piss out of.
Right.
And that will stop them from getting hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it will also make them feel kind of self-conscious about,
yeah,
you know, sort of the whole sort of bundle there. And the other thing that, one of the things that a lot of guys like is that when you're locked up, it's a little bit like when you get a PA, you kind of have to pee sitting down because it tends to like collect in the device and then drain out.
Right. So that's its own humiliation. So that
has its own, potential for humiliation, but also like a kind of consciousness.
Right.
That you'd
right.
sort of, and I think that's the main thing with it. It's like, orgasm denial can be one thing, but it doesn't have that component of making you physically conscious of the control or right. really having to modify your behavior.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
So you can do that sort of vet rep thing for like a weekend.
Yeah.
You know, and see how that goes and see what that feels like. For some people, it is really enticing. For others, it's like, it just, they're like nuts and they really can't handle it.
Yeah.
And I, you know, so
it's interesting. I mean, that's another level of the irony, right? Is that you're making, in a way you're making every moment more sexual,
mm-hmm.
because you're being constantly reminded when you're doing otherwise mundane things,
mm-hmm.
about this scene.
Yes.
This, like, psychological control.
Yeah.
And physical controlled scene that you're engaging in. So you're, like, making every moment more sexual by making no moments mm-hmm. sexual.
Well, by making the process of release. I mean, if you think about it, for a lot of guys, you know, what's the cliche about men? It's like they, you know, they
will do anything to get off.
Well, there's that. And there's some hilarious things about, like, you know, you wear the device long enough and you're kind of like, maybe I'm feeling that there's some friction in there. That might actually work.
Oh my God.
Right. But there's also the, you know, the cliche is that they, like, climb on and pound away and, you know, and
right.
3 minutes later they're done and they grunt and they roll over and fall asleep. And so it's...
I'm like that, so...
I am a child of the 70s, so no. Hours of oral sex before, like,
I even get... Is that a 70s thing? No wonder I love all the music from the 70s.
Is
it really about just hours of oral sex? Is that what...
I grew up, like, three blocks away from one of the first women's bookstores in New York.
Which is what and where?
It was, I think it was called Woman Books. It was on the Upper West Side.
With a Y.
No, okay, no.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Not yet, but you
on
know.
On the Upper West Side?
On the Upper West Side. And I used to, like, go by and, like stand outside and not go in.
Sure.
Because it's women's space and, et cetera, awesome. Et cetera. But I, you know, was... always very, like,
curious.
I always thought it was really cool that women had, you know, I used to listen to, like, WBAI, it was a Pacifica radio station here in New York, had they had an early program of, like, gay stuff in the early 70s, and then I think before it was a women's music program. So, like, believe me, I had a copy of Our Bodies Ourselves, I knew how to examine my cervix, like, all that stuff.
Fuck yeah.
You know? So...
While you're listening to, like, Joan Baez, God.
Oh, and Meg Christensen.
No,
that's the pop end. We're talking.
Oh, okay.
We're talking filling up and spilling over. It's nice. Very Chris
Lydia
Williamson.
Lunch, maybe. No, okay. Nayland, I'm just fan. I sit around all day being like, you know, if I was in New York in 1977, what would I be doing? But
well, that yes, but we're talking about a few years before that.
Okay,
so
okay.
That's before that stuff hit.
Okay.
anyway.
So anyway. Disco. And pussy eating.
So yeah, it was shocking to me when I had a girlfriend in college who did not like to be eaten out.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like floored.
You're like, I'm hungry.
Well, I'm hungry and I know that I'm supposed to.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's fun for me, and I knew that I was supposed to. Anyway,
this goes back to something that you were saying earlier, that like part of if your dick is out of the picture, then all of a sudden you're like, well, we're gonna fuck.
There's all this other stuff
we can do,
and also that sort of like, or like that building sexual tension getting turned off by having the orgasm.
Right.
That doesn't happen.
Right, so you...
So there isn't an immediate sort of off switch...
And sleepiness.
...to that. Right, and sleepiness. Yes.
I want to know... this is the thing that has always been curious to me is... So you're wearing the device and it's sort mm-hmm. of like it's like a shell. You're like Han Solo
right.
in there, right?
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And your top has also sent you this porno and you're watching it and you start mm-hmm. and you're starting to get turned on and you're starting to get hard.
Mm-hmm.
So the dick like sort of reaches its sort of starts like, you know, becoming engorged and expanding
mm-hmm.
and then it sort of like hits its limit and then it just kind of like deflates after a while because it's got nowhere to go.
That is the right word. I mean it, yeah, because and after a while is exactly right.
Yeah.
And
so
one of the things
this, like half chub and then you're like
and then you're like you can't really do anything.
Yeah.
And similarly like waking up in the morning wood.
Sure.
That's often when it is the most painful.
Right.
Because what's
is
sort
it
of happening
painful?
Well, you have, like, the whole sort of thing, like, okay, so there's... imagine that the ring is here, and it's attached to this thing that's in the shaft.
Sure.
And then as this gets hard, it's, like, pushing the whole thing forward.
Okay.
So what's starting to happen is that, like, the balls are sort of getting pulled on, or the skin that's around there starts to get pinched.
Yeah.
That can be kind of painful.
Gosh, I'm sure for somebody who is a masochist, especially like about their dick or their like cock and balls, that then you know it hurts, and then they're like more turned on, but then mm-hmm. it hurts. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I'm sure for some people there's like the pain, and that's like an aversion and like an mm-hmm. instant turn off. But
right.
for some people, it's like pain. And then that
right.
exacerbates the
yeah.
arousal.
And there are some devices that have small spikes inside, so that are
it's
really
like
Iron designed.
Maiden.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Spikes. Yeah.
That's fun.
Could be. So yeah, it is. Yeah, there is that frustration.
Yeah.
And I find that like in the day-to-day thing you go through periods of where everything seems to be intensely sexual.
Right.
And then, like, waves where you're just, like, it's not even conscious.
Huh.
You know.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's yet another element of it, is the naughty thrill of the sort of, like, the secret fetish or the secret kink, which is...
Mm-hmm.
And this is in a good way, because sometimes people like to sort of have their, like, secret naughtiness, and then they, like you were saying earlier, they sort of unconsensually, like, involve other people in their naughtiness, right? Whereas this is actually, like, quite well within the realm of consent that you could, that because it's in your pants,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's in your pants, and you are maybe, like, excited... by the fact that you're on the subway and nobody knows
mm-hmm.
what I've got in
mm-hmm.
my pants,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, mm-hmm. nobody at the office knows,
mm-hmm.
this other person doesn't know, and then, you know, but nobody has to have it, like, rubbed in their face.
Right. Right.
That's cool. That's fun. Again, it's like... But then, of course, I'm sure for some people that who are maybe, like, exhibitionists, that they start to be turned on by that, and then they feel the frustration and the discomfort,
mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm.
and it just continues.
Yeah. Expanding. So it can be psychologically complex.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
No doubt about that.
And I think that it's like most things in kink, that there's the... There's the thing that you're doing, there's the operation, there's the act, there's the scene,
mm-hmm.
and then there's the meaning that comes out of it.
Right.
And it can be, it's not always going to be consistent, and it's not always going to be the right thing.
Yeah.
And it's not, it's not automatically... going to work in the way that you expect it to.
That's fun.
Yeah. Yes and no. I mean, there's... like, there have been times when it has not been fun. Like, there have been times when I've been locked up without... And generally, our agreement is that I don't know how long the period of time is going to be.
Wow.
You know.
Yeah, I feel
I get
different.
Like, ordered into it.
Like, if I have to wait in a line, and I know that I'm going to be waiting for 15 minutes, I can totally handle that. But if I'm in a line... and I don't know how long I'm going to be waiting, that's, like, what totally drives me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather wait for longer...
knowing
and know
when it was done.
...that it was then wait for a shorter period of time and not know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes that arbitrariness is very hot.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is kind of distressing because, you know, it would be a different thing if... he and I were not poly, for example.
Right.
So we both know that, there are we're gonna be involved with and playing with other people.
Right.
And
so in a sense,
and so
he's denying the use of your dick to other people as well.
Right.
Right.
And sometimes he'll grant it to other people. I mean, there's people that we both know. Like, for example, recently I went to this event we were talking about.
Right.
And I was locked.
Yeah.
And without any real instructions, except that one other person had permission to take me out, you know, when they wanted.
That's fun.
It was fun. It was... also a little crazy making because, you know, one of the things that characterizes that event is that you meet new people and you might want to do something, and there's to have, you know, logically I could know that there's, you know, an infinite number of things I could do.
Right.
And only a couple of things that I couldn't do.
Right.
But still, it was that feeling of ownership and control, you know, in the absence of an immediate way to check in.
Yeah.
Had some real frustrations in it for me.
So what, I mean, and this is subjective, but maybe you can answer for you, what is the difference between the delicious frustration that is clearly the motivation for this or this kind of thing, and just straight up agony of frustration, like, this is actually, like, not okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the, where's that point for you?
I think it has to do, for me, with what's the kind of attention I'm receiving.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm, you know, not at a kink event, and it's just sort of during the day, there's something kind of wonderful about knowing that, you know, that I was thought about
this person who's far away.
Exactly. And in fact, when, you know, we've done it when we've both been at the same event, and that has been really hot.
Yeah.
You know, because, and it's also been really helpful because it has provided me with an easy way to, we've played with different ways for me to get out,
right,
like for how I was going to like earn the privilege of getting out. But also, it's provided me with an easy out for not interacting with people that I don't, you know, necessarily have the right feeling about, and I don't have to be discourteous. Right.
You can just be like, look, I'm, you know,
we have an agreement for this weekend, so I have to check in with him and whether or not, you know, I can get permission.
Yeah. If only it was that easy with everybody that comes on to you, where you can
yeah,
just be like,
yeah, yeah.
I just have to, yeah.
I have to ask. I'm
and
sorry.
My iron panties. I'm sorry, not sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing that can be like a real benefit of it. I think that the problem with this event was that it was, I felt the control without necessarily feeling the attention.
Yeah.
You know, so there wasn't that kind of, you know, pleasurable reminder. It just felt kind of, you know,
annoying.
I won't say owner. I don't want to say like onerous, but it felt limiting rather than connecting.
So you were saying that you have been the key holder for other people as well. Mm-hmm. So can you speak to that side of it?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't really even talked about that at all. Like, what would motivate someone for wanting to put somebody else in chastity? A lot of it is sort of self-evident. You kind of invert the things that we've been talking about. The you know, if you like to control someone, if you want to own someone, you know, if you want to humiliate someone, certainly there can be, like, for, you know, like, putting a man in chastity, there can be an element of, like, punishing them for, like, either on behalf of their entire gender or just them specifically for being overly sexual, for being too focused on their dick, for you know, for all men being too focused on their dick, et cetera, et cetera. But what are some other reasons for wanting to be a key holder?
You touched on some of it. You know, the first thing you learn when you start doing chastity scenes is that time is the universal currency. As soon as anybody doesn't like anything, does something that you don't like, that's immediately translatable into time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's another day. And,
oh my God. That's
and,
so funny.
An example of this is, a friend of mine and I participate in a sort of ongoing floating poker game that's been around for years. It's used to be part of the Hot Ash, like the cigar
fun
group. And so both of us, I know that he really likes chastity. And so we were playing in a game and I was like, okay, I tell you what, we'll make a side bet. Mm. And you know, we'll look at our winnings at the end of the night and whoever has won more, gets to lock the other one up. Mm. And it'll be for the, like, a day for each dollar in the difference.
Nice.
So I came out $29 ahead of him.
Nice.
And so had him locked, and he is somebody who is very much into the sort of frustration and edging part of it.
Right.
So he, like, loves to be locked and watch porn every evening. So I was like, okay, I want to report, you know, send me the porn report on what it was that you were watching each night.
No, go ahead.
So, you know, for me, I like obedience. Mm. And I like obedience that doesn't come with a lot of enforcement. I'm not big on punishment. Mm. Like, I don't respond well to people who are bratty. You know, I'm like,
right.
I'm like, I will give you attention without you having to act out around it to get negative attention.
Yeah, it sort of seems, I'm trying to imagine somebody being bratty about their chastity, and I'm just, it's like not, I'm sure there are some people.
People can be bratty about anything.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, but it also sort of seems like it would make somebody, the stakes are,
right.
The stakes are right. High. I mean, your satisfaction is at stake.
Yeah. I also just like suggestibility.
Right.
So I really like, you know, if I'm chatting with somebody online and you know, that it may come up that we're like sort of talking about chastity, and I'll be like, okay, so, you know, how long have you done it for? And they'll say whatever it is. And I'm like, well, do you have a device in the house? And like, why don't you just put it on now?
Yeah.
We'll just see what happens.
Because you just said it doesn't even have to be punishment, because it can also be a reward, right? It can be like, if you're good, I'll let you take it off.
Yeah, and it's just like, okay, just put it on now and let's just see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, I and that's like a very sort of casual kind of topping.
Yeah.
But I kind of love that. Like my favorite kind of topping is that we both come to the agreement that it's better when you do what I say. Right.
Right.
So it's just better.
Yeah. It's just,
so you should go.
I should just trust you.
You should go do that now. 'Cause it's just better when you do what I say.
Yeah. I like that. I like that.
It tends to, you know, makes people blush.
I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, I definitely can relate or can imagine, like you mentioned the word edging, right? Mm. Like, I can definitely imagine that, like, there will be times when I sort of like approach coming and I will like
consciously back off.
Exactly. Because the payoff is a harder orgasm or getting to the point where I'm like having multiple orgasms or like you know, ejaculation or whatever. So I can imagine that the satisfaction of the first time that you have an orgasm after being in custody is usually probably pretty fabulous. Is that the case?
It can be. It's not always, but usually, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it can also be that, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to play with it. Some guys are really into, like, you know, sort of additional kinds of frustration, right? So I'm going to let you out. You have, like, 3 minutes to come.
Oh. And if you can't come, you got to go back in.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's rough. You must not want it that much. I mean, you're busy complaining about it and complaining about how you can't come. So you got 3 full minutes. Right. You know, I mean, that's...
Oh my God.
The, you know, those sorts of scenes where you set people up for failure.
Right.
In the, you know.
That's predicament bondage in a way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun.
Yeah.
Not the same as punishment.
No.
No.
But it can be also about, you know, a lot of, you know, religions also, you know, put forward chastity as a virtue, and
sure,
a lot of ascetics take vows of chastity, and
that is true.
You know, there can be also, I don't want to make it seem like it's all super sexual. There can be I've met guys who are in long-term MS relationships, master-slave relationships,
right,
who, you know, basically are in chastity relatively constantly. Mm-hmm. And it is really, you know, their master told them to give that up, and so they gave it up for them.
Yeah.
That was that.
To serve a higher power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, as we say in the kink community, that's not quite my path.
Do we say that?
By we, I mean them. That's not my path today. But I certainly honor those who walk it.
Until the right hot person asks for it, it's not your path.
Yeah, well, that is the funny thing about kink, right?
Yeah.
It's like the right person asks you for something that you never thought you would ever do, and then suddenly there you are doing it.
I mean, it is a beautiful thing to... So I suppose it can be an expression of dominance and submission, of master slave, in a way of sadomasochism, because we did talk about there is like a pain,
mm-hmm,
element to it, and I'm sure, yeah, an expression of obedience and ownership and intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, although I would imagine that some people probably do it. Well, you were talking about M for M, like some people do it anonymously. I mean, there's like danger to that.
And there's guys who,
not complete anonymity, but, mm-hmm, but like not necessarily somebody that they're like intimate with.
Yeah. And one thing that you touched on earlier that I wanted to go back to is that, one thing that I find really hot is locking up straight identified guys.
That's funny, that's devilish,
you know. And there are guys who are
specifically interested in having a gay man.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I mean, you know, check your privilege there, you know. And and I would say that in some ways, you know, we could go down the rabbit hole of, you know, why is it usually straight men who are into sissification?
Right.
You know, why, like, is that misogyny that they think that women are so low that to be,
right,
like, made woman-like or made sissy-like is the lowest that they could possibly go, so that's why they play with that.
And that to be made into a woman, they have to be this, they have to be a super slut, or they have to
right.
be like a baby.
Right,
or, yeah,
right.
Yeah, no, I'm,
you know,
we could go down that rabbit hole.
And so there may be a level of homophobia
sure.
underneath that, that it's like, that's the worst thing that you could do is to give control of your dick over to a faggot.
I mean, that's but the same to be, as giving
to be
control
honest.
Over to a woman. I mean, in the sense of it being mm-hmm. like, oh, the worst thing I could do is to let, I don't have no idea what it's like to have a woman have control over mm-hmm. me, so.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, if that is lurking there, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's hot for me, in part because, I don't like patriarchy and I like fucking with it. So
I don't like it either. Let's fuck with it.
Yeah, let's take a controversial position here.
I don't know if
patriarchy
my listeners
is, patriarchy
be...
has got a bum rap, you know.
I have no, you know what? Said no one ever. Actually, unfortunately, that's not true, but those, let's fuck with patriarchy by putting it in jest.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, on that note, who would you like to put in chastity? Like, who's your dream person to put in chastity?
Oh, wow.
It's hard because
that
it's
is
like,
a, that
because
is a,
you were like giving
a
them
really
a,
good question. Nobody's ever giving, asked me that before.
But you're giving them, you know, it's like I'm my initial when I ask myself that question, the initial people that I start to think of are like people who I find really repulsive. Like I don't know for some reason like Eminem was like the first person that came into my head. Maybe because we were just talking about the patriarchy, and you know, people who are overrated. But I love
that.
But then again, it's like that's too much. He should just be. I just want to ignore him.
See, that
it's too much attention.
That is the thing. I mean, that's the funny thing is that you end up having to sort of think about them
and babysit them.
Yeah. Let's see. Who would I like to have locked up? I would totally be into like locking up Nick Frost for my own private use.
Cool.
I mean, one, because he'd like, you
use
know,
his mouth.
Yeah. And I think he's got a pretty mouth. But also I think he would like have this, like, I love guys that are sort of like hangdog and embarrassed about their, like when you tease them, like that they're kind of in it, but they're kind of blushing and embarrassed to admit that they're kind of in it. And I love teasing guys like that. And so I bet he would do that. And then he would be a real, I think he's a really fun fuck. So I think he'd be a really fun fuck when you let him out.
It'd be like a dog let off a leash.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Well, now I've just got to think about that a little bit. Well, thank you. I think unless, do you have any other closing notes?
No, I mean, I would, you know, if people are listening to it, I would, you know, try it out. Oh, the other thing that I would say that if you're going to do that, like once you sort of test out the weekend with the vet rap.
Yeah.
And then you sort of graduate to the like $20, $30 devices.
Mm-hmm.
Try them on and walk around in them. Like, spend some time in them because a lot of them look cool and they have, like, crazy, like, moving parts or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, one of the things about your dick is that it's, like, constantly, like, changing size and shape throughout the day.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of loose skin and things get pinched and things get abraded and you very quickly will learn, like, the design that looks super cool.
Right.
Because it's, like, the most, like, sort of steampunky cage-like looking.
Sure. It has, like, a wizard on it. Or,
yeah,
like,
right. It was going to make you feel horrible because it has all these places where it's going to pinch your dick. And you know, that will be really painful. So that's why you try out different kinds and really, like, for fit and long-term comfort before you invest.
It's kind of like a nice pair of shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you gotta walk a mile in them.
Yes.
Yeah, break them in. Cool. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, and I hope you have a wonderful Pride weekend.
Thanks for asking me.
Whatever you end up doing, and is there anything that you're working on right now that you want to talk to the listeners about?
No, not necessarily. I'm going to be teaching at TestFest, but that's next weekend. Mm. No, not really.
You teach a class on chastity, don't
you? I will be teaching the chastity class at TestFest this weekend. Yes.
Cool. And you'll be teaching.
And look for me around. I have, like, a list of the classes that I teach on FetFest. I'm not on FetLife.
On FetLife, right.
And
we can find you on FetLife as Naylin.
Yes. And I'm always happy to go to different places and teach. That's one of my favorite things to do is, like, cool. I love to travel and teach.
Sweet. Well, I'm sure that somebody will
jet
you out and
It allows me to get, like, indulge my fetish for, like, locking guys up indirectly.
Yes. Cool. It's spreading your influence.
Yes.
Yeah, fabulous. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for asking me.
Smitten Kitten is not only a place for all of your sex supply needs, they also have a wonderful collection of high-quality BDSM toys. Plus, they have an amazing staff that won't judge your kinks, making them a perfect place to shop for all the accoutrement you need. They are our generous sponsors, and that makes this podcast a reality, so don't deny them any of your love. My guest next time is the host and producer of one of the most popular sex podcasts out there, Audio Smut. Her name is Mitra Kaboli, and she decided that she wanted to talk about why are people into teasing. Speaking of tease and denial, that's all I'm going to tell you for now, so you'll just have to come back in a few weeks. Till then, I'm Tina Horn. Thanks for downloading or streaming episode 12 of Why Are People Into That? Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.